Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
This sucks.
So life comes at you pretty fast. I was eating lunch with a Morning Rush listener yesterday, all-you-can-eat Mexican food, and my phone was ringing off the hook. And I try not to look at my phone when I'm eating with someone. I walk out the door. I read these text messages from a number of different people. The Texas Bowl has been canceled. One last middle finger from 2020.
Wait. Where do you find all-you-can-eat Mexican food? This is a revelation to me. I didn't know there was.
This is way more important.
This is the thing I need to know more about. Where do I get all-you-can-eat Mexican food?
Right here, about 5 minutes from the station.
Not too bad. I didn't know there was such a thing.
You hungry?
I mean, come on.
For $7.
$7?
Did you get invited?
No. I never get invited.
I didn't either.
Yeah, all-you-can-eat Mexican food. That's the big story. He buried the lead right there, folks.
But burritos, soft tacos, and quesadillas, and rice and beans is what I... you get to pick five, so that's what I did yesterday. Yeah. And it was enjoyable. Got some hot salsa as well. But as I said...
So that didn't want to set you on fire, was it?
Nope, that is not what got me hot, as it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday here on the Morning Rush. It was the cancellation of the Texas Bowl. We'll get into that. Arkansas basketball opens up conference play against the Auburn Tigers tonight. I know many of you are excited. Musk will be in attendance in Auburn, Alabama for that. He did get some good news. Dorian Sherrill is the seventh guy that's going to return for his second senior season, which is great. Talk about who won the AP Player of the Year in Devontae Smith. Got to see some better bowl games last night. One went down to the wire between Oklahoma State in Miami. And then there's some other information concerning about what the status of Barry Odom is with this football program. All of this is coming up on the Morning Rush. And then we also are going to have Brett Good, former Arkansas Razorback, join us at 7:20. Then we're going to have Zubin Mahinty, who is the host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. He's going to join us. He's getting ready for...
He's the guy that never gets to talk.
Yeah, that's J. Will and Keyshawn take up the majority of that time. Zubin is preparing for the college football playoffs. If he is not on the radio this week, that's why he's getting the chance to join us live. Live at 8 a.m. this morning. But while the all-you-can-eat Mexican food was not disappointing, the outcome of the Texas Bowl was disappointing. And it comes down to one thing. TCU didn't want the smoke.
Well,
that's what it comes down to. They're scared.
We'll get to that in a minute. When there was a scheduled send-off that fans could attend and line up on Meadow Street and hold up signs and wear your mask and socially distance. And it was set up, and then that was abruptly called off due to an abundance of caution, as it was said. I don't know if these two things were related, but when that email came out, it raised my eyebrows. Is something brewing here that maybe there isn't a reason for a send-off? But I just kind of glanced over that after the show was over and, you know, reading that email that, okay, no send-off, the weather's a little blustery, you know, maybe not, you know, because there really wasn't anything going on, but clearly, there was some chatter behind the scenes that TCU was already putting the plans in motion to not play the game. So Arkansas had the charter plane ready. They obviously had the buses ready, and nobody loaded the buses or the planes yesterday. So your position is TCU was scared.
Yeah, they didn't want the smoke, period. Okay. Dan Skipper, I can't take credit for that. Who's the first one to initiate that
conversation? There's a lot of people that have that opinion. And, you know, TCU got COVID issues. They got players opting out. They got injured players, you know, other special circumstances.
If the hand was on the other foot, Arkansas would have played this game because we saw them do it already against LSU this year. They would have played this game.
I'll do what you do because you would argue with a fence post. If Arkansas did that in a home game, fair? I mean, Arkansas wasn't about to lose a home game and refund tickets. This is a bowl game where you're probably, now I don't know if you're going to lose money this year because you're not traveling as many, you're not going as extravagant and all of these things. But, you know, bowl money, bowl games of this nature where the payouts aren't big, you're not sending a lot back to the league office. You know, you usually can chew up a lot of the money you get as your cut on just travel expenses. But, you know, in fairness on that LSU game, yes, you were shorthanded, but you were going to play the game if they had to draft me and you to go play, because they weren't about to call it quits on a home game.
You can argue. Let me ask you something, because you're just doing what I sometimes like to do.
Well, no, I'm just telling you what makes sense from a standpoint of.
But I'm asking
home games from a financial standpoint. We saw them move heavens and earths in December to get everybody all the home games in as best they could, and the league office literally moved heavens and earths to make it happen.
But the question I have for you, and I want you to answer this truthfully: do you think if Arkansas was on the fringe for being able to have enough players, do you think they would play this game?
I think if Arkansas had a spike in COVID, a number of injured players, if they were in a similar position as the LSU game.
So what's it, 52?
Yeah, 50.
I know that, and I know it's an assortment with certain, it's a certain number of players that have for each position.
Seven offensive linemen, you got to have a quarterback, you know, and so many defensive linemen. I can't say with full certainty, well, we'd be root hog or die. We'd just go down there and take one for the team. I can't say that absolutely without question Arkansas would have played. No, I don't.
Should Arkansas be awarded the Texas Bowl trophy?
No. No, he didn't play the game. No. I do think that TCU knew in their current roster situation they were going to get beat. Now, is that the reason they didn't want to play? You could connect those dots. I think they knew with their, two All-American defensive players in their secondary out and opted out. We don't know who else had COVID and all these other, you know, we know about the injuries and the opt-outs to a degree. We don't know about all the COVID connect. You know, you can connect some dots and know that, hey, they knew that this wasn't going to go their way based on who they were going to be able to put on the field.
I think that
that's a reasonable take.
And it's weird to say this because I don't mean to take what's going on in the world, particularly in college sports, lightly when it comes to COVID and stuff. But I think it can be used as almost an excuse sometimes when you're like close, you're on the fringe, and then you can just kind of say, oh, we can't play this game because of this. And I don't know if that's I don't have enough knowledge and background.
No one questions you on it. When you say COVID, no one questions you.
Exactly. I don't have enough knowledge and background to know what's going on.
Like the old days when you just said, hey, I got diarrhea. No one's going to question you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't come to work. If you just say I got COVID symptoms, no one questions you now.
It's
okay.
We'll unpack this more coming up, but you can look at this as a good or bad situation. Some of you thought that Arkansas was going to lose this game to TCU, and that would have been five straight losses, which is not how you want to end your season.
Right.
And you can also look at it as a positive where, I mean, think about it. These young men have had to go through hell and high water. Is that the quote?
Hell or high water.
Hell or high water, and they haven't got to see their families.
Hell or high water.
Okay, that's what I was asking you. So, and they've had to just persevere through so much, and now they finally get a break from all this because I got a text yesterday that they're off till the 10th.
Right.
So, which is good for not just the players, the coaches, everyone involved with the Arkansas football program, that they're getting a little bit of break. I know you would have rather played the Texas Bowl, but it is nice for these guys that have had to go through so much in 2020 mentally.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
JT in Hot Springs sends us a great text. He says, I think Zach Arns' beef is now he doesn't get off 4 on New Year's Eve.
That couldn't have been more accurate.
Yeah, I think he's a little frustrated that he will have to do a full show until 6
Who's
o'clock.
Who's more mad, him or Ruskin?
That's a great question. I don't know what's the answer.
Both.
What's the answer? Both. Well, listen, they're both old, so New Year's doesn't matter to them. And the fact that it's
Ruskin's not 40, so I don't think you can call him old. Now, me and Arns, on the other hand, we're creeping up on 50, both of us.
New Year's happens to fall on your birthday, obviously.
So yeah, my birthday's tomorrow.
That day is a little more significant to you, but I mean, Tommy, you don't.
Yeah, I may stay up till 10 tomorrow.
If like New Year's, obviously COVID's kind of restricted what people can do this year, but if your birthday didn't fall on New Year's at this age, you don't care what happens on New Year's.
I think I've stayed up till midnight like the last 2 years.
It's going to be weird with Ryan Seacrest in downtown. I think they're going to do it in studio now.
Yeah. Nothing at Times Square. There probably no need to be at Times Square. I mean, I guess it's, I mean, I don't know. That's the, of all the things that's on a lot of people's bucket lists, that's not even, what's the opposite of a bucket list? Is there a term for that? Things you would hate to do? I mean, if there were things like, would be punishments, sending me to Times Square on a normal New Year's Eve would be somewhere in the top 10 or 15 of the worst experiences you could make me be involved in. Crowding me in, and I've been to Times Square. I want to go again to Times Square someday when things are closer to normal, but not for New Year's Eve. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's something that I've, like you, have been to Times Square, but I don't have any desire. I've had some Morning Rush listeners that have sent us pictures of them making their way, and actually one of them got a selfie with Ryan Seacrest as he was making his way, which was kind of cool, but as you, to drive or fly to New York,
you know how much
time,
I'd give for a selfie with Ryan Seacrest?
$5.
Not much. Not even that much.
That's too much.
No. I'd pay more for that all-you-can-eat Mexican you were talking about earlier.
It was worth the money. A little over $7. I can't complain about that. But yeah, that has never appealed to me.
Yeah, I mean, I got zero desire to be crammed in there with 500,000 people or whatever it is.
I would understand that.
I think it's more than that.
That's a conversation we'll save with New Year's being.
How did they not get COVID before there?
Yeah,
you know?
With New Year's being the way it is this year, what are you going to do with no Arkansas football game?
Well, I mean, and in our state here in the natural state, any place that serves alcohol that's a bar closed at 11. I mean, that's not last call at 11. That's your butt's out the door at 11. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how it's going to go down tomorrow night.
We'll see. Jesse's, I know that our friends at 906, they're doing the toast at 906.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that later. Yeah, they're going to toast in the new year at 9:06 p.m., which makes sense for 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. That's such a great idea, I'd almost want to claim credit for it, but I had nothing to do with it.
Jesse's beat this morning is that the Chiefs, again, we're the home of the Chiefs on ESPN 104.3 and 95.3. Dave in South Arkansas might not like this, that Jesse's beef is he feels like the Chiefs are getting so much love for these struggle wins, and his Buffalo Bills are getting far less coverage after being the hottest and best team in the league for months.
Struggle wins. wins are wins in the NFL, right?
I think the Bills have dominated teams as of late, and the Chiefs have not looked up to snuff. And he's valid. I mean, the Chiefs
They haven't looked as dominant, maybe as I mean, but I don't know. In the NFL, I don't know that you can really complain about winning.
Win's win.
Yeah,
Cowboys are 5-10, and I'm sitting here ecstatic with a 3-game win streak right now.
What he's saying, guys, is Buffalo Bills have. I mean, case
Bills
in point,
are for
just
real.
Dominated the New England Patriots and. The Kansas City Chiefs barely beat the Falcons, and I guarantee you they got more television coverage, more social media coverage, and so his point's valid.
And I assume that, we don't know till the playoff brackets are said, they would meet in the AFC Championship game, I would assume, the Bills and the Chiefs.
No, because the Pittsburgh right now has the 2 seed.
Okay, so it'd be a divisional
semifinal or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So if the Chiefs win by 1, then what does all this conversation mean at the end of the day? Not much, right?
That's a good question.
All these dominant Bills wins, if the Chiefs beat them by a field goal at the horn, at the gun, who cares?
I think his point is valid in the sense that Arkansas has to deal with this struggle at times where there was like, think about 2010 and 2011 where you feel like you didn't get enough praise or enough for what you were doing. And that's just, I mean, that's how it is when you don't have like Buffalo's not a marquee team
The Chiefs are in a small market. That's an afterthought. Now the Chiefs are a little more in the limelight after winning the Super Bowl and they got Patrick Mahomes, but I mean, let's not sell the Chiefs up as like America's team. I mean, Kansas City's right there, you know, at the bottom of the list with Green Bay as far as market size.
Well, America's team is still the Cowboys.
That's what I'm saying. They're not. I mean, you know, Kansas City's one of the smaller markets in the NFL, you know. Probably 28th, 9th, 30th. I don't know, but I would bet my money it's in the bottom five. You know, probably bottom three or four, honestly. Kansas City's not a very big market by NFL standards.
I want to see. I can't remember who that Pittsburgh.
Buffalo's got to be right there, too, though.
Pittsburgh closes out. Actually, I forgot about Cleveland because that's the Mason Rudolph, Miles Garrett game that we get to so pleasantly watch because they're resting Big Ben. So they and Buffalo. Buffalo closes out, and that's going to determine who the two seed is because right now, actually, I apologize, Buffalo has it. I forgot that they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier this year, so they're both 12-3 right now. So if Buffalo wins this week, they'll get to two seed, and then we'll meet in the AFC Championship game, and then Pittsburgh that. So that would be
a irregardless, my point was if the Chiefs beat them by one, if they played in the playoffs, what does and none of the dominating regular season wins by the Bills mean thing, you know.
You have to get it done in the postseason.
Exactly. That was my point.
The Bills take on the Dolphins this Sunday, excuse me.
Well, so the way Buffalo's playing, they're gonna be there in the end.
I'm telling you, I mentioned
they're so balanced.
I said this on Monday. The team that if you're a Kansas City fan like our buddy Greg in Fort Smith is the team you should be scared of is the Buffalo Bills, the way Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have been playing the defense as well. That is the team you should be afraid of when it comes to that. All right, David in South Arkansas, his ears are burning. He heard his name, and he's joining the Morning Rush.
Heard the conversation.
David, what's up, buddy?
He didn't like people calling out his team is what he didn't like.
Oh, no, because I respect Buffalo. They are playing very, very well.
You respect them, but you're not scared of them, are you?
No, I'm not scared of anybody in the NFL. Nobody should be scared of anyone because look at what the Jets did to the Rams. Look at these teams that are winning, and you're thinking, God, they're 0-1 forever. What are they doing winning? You know, I mean, that's the NFL. And as far as the Chiefs winning, I think it's now 8 in a row by one score. Good teams find a way to win. That's why they are a good team. Years ago, the Chiefs would have been begging for a win of any kind. I remember being at the stadium when we were 2-14 at the end of the season. We'd be begging for a win. Good teams win those close games. They pull them out. It's mental toughness. You find a way to win. And I'm sitting here looking at the schedule, and I know the game has been flexed. Of course, CBS didn't want to put us against Miami, Buffalo, didn't want to put us against Pittsburgh, Cleveland. So they bumped us down to the 3:30 time slot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a win is a win. You look at the one-loss column, it doesn't say one, but only by 2 points. One, but only by one score. One, but it was a missed field goal. It's a win, just like loss. None of this moral victory stuff. None of this, well, we played a close game. Loss, it's wins and losses. We're 14-1, number one seed. And this Miami-Buffalo game ought to be a dandy game. That really should be a good game. I'm sorry the Hogs are not playing tomorrow night. I guess I'll just have to watch replays of Chiefs games that I've recorded up until, you know, midnight or whatever.
That's a sad existence.
Something like that. Anyway, guys, gentlemen, I do appreciate the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Find something better to do than watch old Chiefs games on New Year's Eve, though. Surely there's something better on your agenda.
Okay. Well, let's see. I live out here in the woods in South Arkansas. Maybe there isn't something. They're not old games. They're this season's games anyway, you know, so they're not old. Some of them I haven't even watched 3 or 4 times yet. So, you know, I've still got a couple of years to go there. Hey, I was even watching the playoff games from last year just because I wanted to see fans in the stands and go, hey, I was at that game. I was at the AFC Championship game last year, and it's just fantastic to be in that stadium when it's full. And I've been up there this year when there were 13,000, and no fake artificial noise pumped into Arrowhead. Even with only 13,000 there, we still make noise. And I equate it with Little Rock crowds. I love Little Rock crowds as opposed to Fayetteville crowds as far as the Hogs. I mean, the fans are into it.
Yeah.
They're watching, they're attentive, they're focused on the game, and I really love Little Rock crowds. I really do. Anyway,
David,
thank you. Thank you for the call. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they've struggled a little bit relative to what they have been, and that's real, it's not really It's not belittling the Chiefs. Just
what it is it tells you the expectations. You expect the Chiefs, well, with Patrick Mahomes and their Super Bowl champion, you expect them to win by double digits every time. And then when they don't meet your expectations, well, they're struggling. Well, I mean, you look at a lot of the betting lines in the NFL. How many betting lines on a Sunday? You pay a lot more attention to it than I do. How many betting lines are double digits on a given Sunday?
Not two or three.
Yeah, I mean, most of the games in the NFL, I mean, the system is set up for parity, right? I mean, that's the way the draft's set up, the salary caps, is to create 32 teams that are fairly even. There's a tight median there so that you've got these competitive games. They do a good job with competitive balance in that league so that these games, week in, week out, come down to a score.
Mm-hmm.
Couple possessions in the end so that there aren't a lot of blowouts. So, I mean, that's the way the league is set up.
Let's roll through these quick hitting headlines that we've yet to get to. Good news, while the Texas Bowl has been canceled, the good news is Dorian Gerald is back for next season. He is the seventh senior that is going to return for his second stint with the Arkansas Razorbacks as a senior year. That's really good, and I know Clay Henry mentioned it yesterday. Clay always seems to have the inside track when it comes to a lot of Arkansas football and basketball information, so that's why you need to listen to the Morning Rush when Clay comes on, because he's always seemed to have that insider information here on the Morning Rush.
All right, so make sure I didn't miss one. Myron Cunningham, Ty Clary, Dorian Gerald, that's three of the seven are linemen coming back. Did I miss anybody?
Morgan Warren Hammonds.
I don't think I missed anybody else. It was a lineman. I'm just saying that as three experienced, fully grown men on the line. So if I missed somebody, I apologize. But I mean, just that's my point, is where do you win in the SEC? You win at the offensive and defensive line. And, you know, it's great to recruit a four or five star player, but only the genetic freaks come in fully developed, and, you know, the Jadeveon Clowney type guys that come in as freshmen that can play, you know, truly impact the game as a freshman. You know, that's why they need the training program. See, to get a guy back that's a fully grown man is a big deal, and hopefully Dorian can stay healthy. That's why is he back? Because he's had injuries. He hadn't had enough tape to really show that an NFL team what he can do. So
it's been tough.
I think it's
him.
Just a big deal to have another lineman back, regardless of which side of the ball it is.
Did you watch the bowl games last night between the...
I didn't get to see a lot. I saw just the highlights. I was at a ball game. I didn't see the first game between Oklahoma State and Miami. Saw the end and just the highlights and how Oklahoma State won. Saw a lot of the Texas-Colorado game, and didn't like what I saw. Texas, I'm not going to go Joe Tess, and Texas is back. But, man, I'm going to tell you, Ty, I didn't like what I saw, because you got to remember Texas is on the schedule, or the presumed schedule for next year. You're assuming Texas is coming to Fayetteville. That's the plan, right? And they look pretty good against Colorado. And Ellinger injured, shoulder, had his arm in a sling, and backups in, and they're just scoring at will, it seemed like, against Colorado last night in the Valero Bowl down in San Antonio. So this is going to be a team that might be picked to win the Big 12. Going to be first or second by most people's picks is my guess next year for the Big 12 when the season begins.
And you mentioned Sam Ellinger and that sling. It was a gruesome injury for De'Arik Keene in Miami, who was having to deal with that knee, which is
I saw the highlight that got hit, but kind of went down, holding the knee. I mean, it wasn't like it got broke or anything, but he had a meniscus problem before, so I don't know if it was a re-injured that or
knees are not
what.
Fun, man.
No.
Got to deal with that with an ACL. It is not fun. So, I got some other news yesterday, college football-wise. Devontae Smith wins the AP College Football Player of the Year. He's the first wide receiver ever to win the award, and a lot of people were pointing to, well, some of these voters also vote on the Heisman Trophy, so maybe that will be a sign of what's to come with the Heisman presentation next Tuesday.
I'd be an upset. I mean, I don't disagree that he is the best player in college football. He's the most exciting player when the ball's in his hands. But, I mean, just look at the history. The last 20 years, it's a quarterback award. So, in my mind, it would be an upset if a wide receiver won the Heisman, because it's an upset even when a running back wins it.
See,
we've only seen a handful, like three running backs in the last 20 years win the award.
Ingram, Henry,
yeah,
and I don't know.
We looked at it the other day, but I mean, there's just a handful of running backs that have won it since 2000. Reggie Bush was one, but he's off the list. So, or whatever you want to count Reggie Bush as.
See, you say that, but it's weird because he has the Vegas odds right now.
Yeah.
You go to Vegas.
They're no dummy. You see that crawl last night where they made more money in November than they know what they're talking about. They made $56 million or whatever it was.
I think you had to go back like September 2018. It was like millions of dollars more that they made, and which is unbelievable. I was actually going to bring that. I'm glad you brought that up because I saw that. I was just like, they're loving. I mean,
made 50 on $502 million gambled or whatever. But that's a good point out of you that, hey, Vegas has him as the odds on favorite. That's worth paying attention to because, you know, as they say, they don't build tall buildings by being stupid. But
I hope he, I mean, I've been very vocal.
Well, I agree. He's, as I described, he's the player that takes your breath away when the ball's in his hands because anything could happen. I'm just saying if you look at history the last 20 years, wide receivers don't win the award, man.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs rarely win the award, and generally they're Alabama running backs. So, I mean, I'm just going to be surprised if it's not Trevor Lawrence or Mac Jones.
Speaking of Vegas, Arkansas opened up as a 1-point favorite against the Auburn Tigers. That line has now shifted to 2, so you are favorites on the road tonight. We'll see if Arkansas can fulfill many bets that are betting on the Hogs. And I saw a lot of people disappointed in the Texas Bowl because Arkansas was +5 in that football game. There's a lot of people that have been on the Hogs, and we didn't get to see that play out, unfortunately.
I guess that had probably been a good bet if it had played based on what we were learning a little more knowledge on TCU and their deficiencies with the roster. So maybe tonight, this game, like I said, between Arkansas and Auburn, favorite in that one, but Arkansas needs to get off to a good start here in conference play in basketball because you got a toughie on Saturday. Home court's not going to count for as much because Bud Walton's not going to be full. Full this year's 4,000 fans. Don't get that imposing edge. Missouri's going to be a good team. They play a tough one tonight with Tennessee. That's going to be one to keep an eye on. So that's a big SEC game coming out of the gate tonight for the league.
Mentioned this a little earlier. I know a lot of people were texting and saying, hey, why can't Arkansas schedule another game? Well, Pig Trail Nation reported that Texas Bowl reps reached out to possible replacements to play Arkansas, but weren't successful in the efforts that they tried. So that's a bummer. Texas Bowl is one of 18 bowls that is not being played this season.
Yeah, and you think with 18 bowls, was that 36 teams? You're one of 36 teams that got displaced, and not all of those would fit the matchup and the criteria. But we've went through this before. You think about the testing. You just think about logistics of getting your team rounded back up. You know, Iowa was a team we brought up that, you know, they were going to play Missouri and Nashville, right? A, where do you play the game? B, you got to get everybody rounded back up. C, testing's got to happen. Who's going to televise it? Who's going to pay you? Because all these bowl games are about money and teams and conferences getting a check, tickets. I mean, there's just – we just think it's easy. Oh, just go play. Just go play. Hey, there is a lot more to just going to play. And, you don't just snap your fingers, wave a magic football wand, and make it happen. I mean, there's just – was it Office Depot? That's easy button. I don't think they have one of those. I don't think it's that easy. So yeah,
it's a little more difficult.
There's a little more involved in it.
All right, last headline for you. Got some weird news that I was seeing from 24/7 Sports from LSU that Barry Odom is a name that's picking up steam right now as LSU's defensive coordinator. He's something that when Ed Orgeron had decided on Bo Pelini, he was someone that was being heavily looked at for the Tigers. And we know that Barry Odom had to be paid extra. He had a raise even before the season began based on that he was trying to be hired Brad Davis as well. That
shows you where you might have had who upped the ante on
exactly.
you last year.
That should worry you a little bit if you're the Arkansas football team and Sam Pittman.
Well, with LSU having so many openings, you'll be lucky to get out unscathed somewhere on your staff if LSU doesn't pluck somebody away just because they got so many openings.
It's a better job. That hurts to say. LSU's a better job.
Better recruiting grounds, better winning tradition in recent years. I mean, national title, obviously, a year ago, but you look at the job and what they have. I can't compare facilities necessarily, but that's not what really it's about. LSU is one of the most fertile recruiting grounds to get players from there to the NFL that you'll find anywhere in America. Mm-hmm. And I think per capita, the state of Louisiana still puts more players in the NFL than anywhere. So Hard to beat. And the food ain't bad either down there either.
Pretty good.
That's it.
Adam Schefter reported that Urban Meyer in the NFL could be a match. Of course, he's never coached at the NFL level. He's been great everywhere he's been. Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. But a couple of different teams, according to Adam, have reached out. Urban Meyer expected to make a decision on what he feels next week.
This is Zubin Mehenti with ESPN Radio, and you're listening to The Morning Rush.
Got a great email out of the mothership earlier this week that Zubin was available for interviews. He's getting ready for the college football playoff and other bowl games, and really excited to welcome him in now to the program, part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Zubin, I want to start, we'll get to some college football talk coming up, but I want to start with your transition from television to radio. I remember you on SportsCenter. I thought you were an excellent anchor. You broke some pretty like on-screen stories like LeBron going to the Lakers and stuff like that. What is your transition like been from television to radio?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. I think the biggest thing is I would say to people, I'm probably getting up right around the time I used to go to bed. When you're working on SportsCenter, especially late at night during the baseball season, you know, you just never know when sometimes these 10:30 Eastern games are going to come to an end, and we don't leave until everything's over. Because as you know, even if it's just a regular season baseball game, that may not mean much in the grand scheme of things, unless you're a fan of one of those two teams. You know, the longer a game goes, no matter what the record of the two teams are, the longer a game goes, the bigger a story it might end up being, just because you never know if it could end up in the history books with regards to length or anything like that, while things happen. So probably the biggest adjustment has been back in the old days when I used to work at night doing SportsCenter on all the highlights. You'd get home in the middle of the night, and now you're getting up in the middle of the night. So that's probably the biggest difference. But we've been doing it since August, so we're used to it.
So we heard you as the open that I made. You were talking with Trevor Maddich about Urban Meyer, his potential to coach in the NFL. I know that was an Adam Schefter report. Zubin, I want your perspective because we had a little conversation surrounding it this week. Do you think Urban Meyer would be a successful coach in the National Football League?
You know, the story broke Sunday morning. I was actually back at my old job Sunday morning. I was doing SportsCenter on Sunday morning, and the story came across. And we actually had Trevor on, and then just we had Trevor on the radio as well. The next day, he and I will be doing the playoff coverage starting at 3 Eastern Friday on ESPN Radio. And his opinion was, this is Trevor, you mentioned the clip you had just played there. You know, he's really been successful at all levels, whether it's Bowling Green, whether it's Utah, whether it's been Florida, whether it's been Ohio State, whatever stage he's been on, he's always been able to win. And Trevor seems to believe that because of that intangible being the intangible of leadership, he'll be fine. You know, people have said he's never really been on an NFL sideline. He's obviously a builder. He's obviously a winner. You know, some people will say that, you know, the ability to win anywhere is a good sign. Some people will say in the NFL, you can't out-recruit everybody, right? That was the big talk on Sunday morning when we had some of the early analysis. You can't just go get every five-star, throw up a 50-50 ball and know that your receiver's probably going to come down with it versus somebody else. The first thing I thought of, we didn't really have a chance to get to this. I think he could certainly be a success. I think the right organization would have to give him a lot of control. But let's be honest, you know, he worked here before he worked at Fox, where he's doing a great job. But if his health is a real consideration, and I'm not saying it is an incredible task to coach Florida or Ohio State, Utah, Bowling Green, particularly the latter two with the pressure and the expectations, it just ratchets up that much more in the National Football League. And I highly doubt Urban Meyer would take a job in the NFL where he wouldn't be given a great amount of control. Like, I think at this particular point, you walk into the situation that you want. I don't think you really want to answer to a general manager or something like that. You want control. Like, if you were to go to Jacksonville and get Trevor Lawrence, you want control of the whole ship, so to speak. And just with all the pressure and all the health concerns that he's had, why the reason he walked away at Florida, the reason he walked away at Ohio State, although Ohio State was a little bit more complicated than that, as you know, wasn't just a health concern. Obviously, there were another issue there. I just sort of think about it and say, if this is a guy that truly is enjoying his life away from football, yet staying involved in the game and doing so at a lower stress level, watching his kids, his son play baseball at Cincinnati, being able to go out there and watch him play, all these sorts of things, you take an NFL job And I'm not saying Florida and Ohio State isn't a tough job with pressure. You take any NFL job and you're basically the general manager and the head coach, that's real stress, real high amount of pressure. And he basically said he walked away from football because of those reasons. So it'll be interesting to see what develops here, too.
Zubin Mahinte with us here on The Morning Rush. He'll be part of the coverage on ESPN Radio of the college football playoff. Again, you see Alabama and Clemson, the presumed best two teams of the four that are in the playoff. Do you think there's some fatigue with those two teams? If they win their games, they'll play again in the national championship game on January the 11th. Are college football fans that are not fans primarily of the Alabama or Clemson program getting fatigued with watching these two teams play potentially for another college football championship?
Yes, I think the ratings would be good for it. It'd be a standalone game on a Monday. Although the ratings this season, other than the NFL, have not been good for anything, so I'm not exactly sure. But I think if you clear out the schedule in most regards, and it is Alabama and Clemson, and they give us a great game, I think the rating will be there, and then some of the fatigue talk will die on a Tuesday morning when people start talking about it. But yes, in totality, I absolutely believe there's a huge amount of fatigue there. If it's a close game, the number will be there, and they'll be able to spin it the right way. I mean, look, only 5 million people watch the Big Ten championship game. I mean, that's, wow, you know. I mean, about Notre Dame and Clemson was up. Every other conference championship game, even Alabama, Florida, was not at the level they thought it was going to be at, and that was a really competitive game. So, yes, I do believe that's the case. Kirk Herbstreit came on our show. You might have heard this a few weeks ago, and he was pretty loud about it. He said the playoff system is broken. And I don't think a lot of people disagree with that. But when you've called every single major playoff game and every single championship game in the playoff era, and you say that from your perch at ESPN, people start to pay attention. You know, he's talked about the Group of Five breaking away and the Power Five and all that sort of stuff, all that stuff that's been discussed before, as you guys know. That's easier said than done. But I do believe there is something that has to be done. That's why there's so much BCS. Go back to the BCS talk. I think that's crazy. I think part of the reason that talk is out there is just because what you guys had just said there. This year, like the BCS, it feels like there's just two teams, and the job of the BCS was just to match the two teams. And this year, it sort of feels like it would be a stunner if it wasn't Alabama and Clemson in the championship game. So something's got to be done here. Obviously, the West Coast has to pick up, you know, its pants. You know, they got to pick up their side of it. They got to up the ante. They haven't been to playoffs since 2016. So the entire Western United States is a non-factor in the college football playoff. I mean, you know, the Pac-12 can do all these little things like try to play games early. I mean, none of that stuff is interesting. I mean, it's all window dressing. You know, when you haven't had a team from the Pac-12, and we know Boise can't make it, Boise State, because of everything we've seen with the Group of Five this year, you know, or years past with UCF and Cincinnati and Coastal and all these things. So, you know, when you have an entire region of the country that's not even a part of this thing anymore because they just don't have any juice. They have great tradition. USC and Washington has as great tradition as any schools across the country. I'm sure USC and really the Huskies, you have to be old enough to remember the Huskies, but I think USC and Washington would put up a great fight with regards to legacy, but they're just not there. It's like college football ends like after Oklahoma. Like if you go on the map and you're going from right to left, it just ends at Oklahoma. And they need to do something about that to generate more interest in this thing. But as I said before, and you guys would appreciate this as two guys, I said this on the show last week. I said, listen, Alabama and Clemson are like Sidney Crawford, Naomi Campbell, and Janice Dickinson. They're real supermodels.
Yeah.
Everybody else is an IG model. They all look good. Like Texas A&M looks good, but they're brushed up and they're touched up, right? Well, you know, we're the only one-loss SEC team out. Well, you know, you didn't really play a full schedule. It's a little bit of a disparate notion. You're not really going against one-loss SEC teams. So like I said, you know, Alabama and Clemson are running a race. They're not going to stop middle of the race. Everybody else has to run faster. So, you know, you got some timeless beauties like those two, and you got a lot of really good-looking women with the other team. You got a lot of IG models, but at the end of the day, IG models are IG models. Supermodels are supermodels, and Alabama and Clemson are supermodels.
All right, so let's look at the two semifinal matchups to avoid that rematch of Alabama and Clemson. Who is the most likely of those two teams to pull the upset, Notre Dame or Ohio State, and what has to happen to see one of those two teams find their way to the championship game?
I mean, I'd love to see Notre Dame win, because if Notre Dame won, then it would just be the stunner that the college football playoff needs. I mean, you know, predictability and all the stuff that Herbstreit and everybody else is talking about would be thrown out the window, because if Notre Dame were to win that game, That would be the single biggest upset in the history of the playoff. They entered as 17.5-point underdog, and it's actually progressively getting worse every time somebody puts money on Alabama. So Notre Dame winning would be best for the playoff because it would just, you know, buck the trend of, like, it's not just the too predictable NCAA chalk-type bracket. I don't think it could happen. I certainly think anything could go down. I mean, look, if Mac Jones were to get hurt or something like that, I would never wish that upon anybody. But if something like that were to happen, and they had to go to a, you know, Uyangalale and, you know, try to win with their backup, maybe things get interesting there. I just don't see how, when they're, you know, matched 1-1, that Notre Dame is the better squad. I would tell you, though, that I'm disappointed in Brian Kelly's comments about, you know, we should be satisfied to be here, and why are people so all over us? Getting to the playoff is a huge goal. I disagree. I mentioned Oklahoma before. If you talk to Lincoln Riley, look, when they take the field Friday, this will be the second appearance for Notre Dame in the playoffs. So they'll have multiple appearances under Coach Kelly. He's done a great job. He's been on our show a couple times. I really like him. But Lincoln Riley's also been to the college football playoff on multiple years. And you would never, tell me if you agree, I don't think you would ever hear Lincoln Riley tell his fan base, hey, you know what, we're here again. Everybody stop complaining. I know we got a bad defense. We can't do anything about it. We play in the Big 12. I've had some great quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts, but hey, what do you guys want? We're here. We're on the cusp every single year. There's no way Lincoln Riley would say that, because the fan base expects more than that. They expect championship material. And so when Coach Kelly came out and said that the other day, I was really disappointed. I think Ohio State's got a really decent chance to knock off Clemson, certainly a better chance than I think than the Irish. I think there's a lot of motivation there for Ohio State, whether it's all the things that Dabo has said, or the fact that everybody has said that the competition between Fields and Lawrence at the next level is gone, and Trevor's going to Jacksonville and he's way better, and Zach Wilson might be picked ahead of Justin Fields, all this sort of stuff moving to the draft. So I think there's a collective chip on the shoulder for the Buckeyes, but there's also a personal chip if you're Justin Fields.
Zubin Mahente, ESPN Radio, with us here on the Morning Rush. Zubin, Devontae Smith wins the AP College Football Player of the Year yesterday. Heisman Trophy presentation next Tuesday. Who do you think is going to win the Heisman Trophy?
I would love to see somebody like Devontae Smith win it, because then it would not be just the best quarterback on the best team award. Obviously, wide receiver, what he plays, is a dependent position. But the way the award has been handed out in past years, as you guys well know, I just mentioned, two of the three winners there. Those three quarterbacks from Oklahoma were all Heisman finalists, all top five performers, with Baker and Kyler winning. But I would say, from what I've seen with those two, Joe Burrow, you know, go back to Manziel, whatever you want, it's basically been given to the best quarterback on the best team, or thereabouts. And so I would favor Mac Jones in that regard. And here's the thing about Mac Jones. Tell me if you agree with this. We were actually talking about this the other day. If I showed the average college football fan, now think about this. Mac Jones could be the best quarterback that Saban has had, or let's at least call it the quarterback of Saban's best ever team at Alabama. I mean, you can make some argument that they roll here to an undefeated title. Mm-hmm. And basically, let's say they're challenged one time, and that one time was by Florida. I know their defense hasn't been great earlier in the year, but they've really shut it down here lately. If I showed you, I'm just your first 10 callers, right? And you send them an image, and you texted them and said, here's a picture of Jalen Hurts. Here's a picture of Tua Tagovailoa. Here's a picture of Greg McElroy. Here's a picture of A.J. McCarron. And here's a picture of Mac Jones. I would be willing to bet, if you put him in order, the most recognizable, the least recognizable. I don't know who would be 1, 2, 3, or 4, but I think Mac Jones would be 5. And think about this. I mean, this is 2020. He is the starting quarterback at Alabama. But I guarantee you, I would think more people could recognize Tua, more people could recognize Jalen Hurts. Obviously, great story, inextricably linked those two guys. More people might even be able to recognize Greg because of the work he does on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I think of those five, Mac Jones would finish. This is not an indictment, by the way, of Mac Jones. I'm just saying this is crazy that somebody could be this good for this sort of program and not be known by the casual fan. I think Mac would finish last in that competition. Would you agree?
I would agree. And think about Tua and Jalen both playing the NFL right now. That still helps there. Greg McElroy appearing not only on ESPN Radio in the mornings, but then also just being on ESPN, SEC Network and stuff. And then AJ and Catherine still being in the limelight. Zubin, he's in Cincinnati, right? No, not Cincinnati. Where's he at right now? Who's he a backup for?
I want to say he was in Buffalo, but he's out of there too, right?
Yeah, because Barkley's the backup there.
He was in Oakland, but he's out of there too because it's Mariota. Is it worth a quick Google? Can you do it for
me? Yeah, I'll do it real quick. So, hey, Zubin, before we let you go, man, and really, I know you're really busy, so we appreciate your time. You're a Rutgers alum. I have heard legendary stories about Are You Hungry, which, Tommy, I'll have to show you this place after. It has maybe the best combination of sandwiches I've ever seen. As a guy that went to school up there in New Jersey, tell us about Are You Hungry. Tell us, the listeners, if they're ever there, what they need to get.
Yeah, the interesting thing about a place like that, so I'm old, I'm 42, so I was out of there 20 years ago. I grew up in New Jersey, and this just goes to show you the sign of the time. Back years ago, they used to have a thing called the grease truck, and basically it was just a row of, you know, like trailer, and it was just make food in there, and they'd roll it up, they'd close it up every night, and, you know, you'd get something called, like a classic dish would be a fat cat, right? So a fat cat would be like a big old hoagie bun with hamburger, cheese, lettuce, tomato. They throw mozzarella sticks in there, right? All that stuff in the burger or in the sub or hoagie itself. And they would just operate it out of a bunch of trucks until the middle of the night, every night. And then I think somebody at some point from the health commission, after decades and decades, would be like, does this seem like a good idea? I mean, you got a bunch of drunk college kids walking up to something called a grease truck where they're just making a ton of food outside of the back of a truck. And after a while, it just didn't seem like a great idea. So they ended up shutting it down. But those sorts of places have sort of lived on inside restaurants as well. So it's kind of a little blast from the past with those sorts of places. Every college has that unique sort of thing. You know, when I went down to Alabama to cover a game, they'd always tell us to go to Dreamland and stuff like that, or walk-ons at LSU, all that type of stuff. So everybody's got their unique little thing going on there, and that's sort of Rutgers thing. And they're actually having an amazing season playing basketball. I interviewed Coach Musselman years ago when he was at Nevada because I love the way that he was building Nevada, and obviously I know he's doing a great job there. So I'm following them. Our basketball team is doing a tremendous job this season as well. Believe it or not, Rutgers, and I know you guys have great tradition with Coach Richardson and all that, Rutgers has not even been to the NCAA tournament since 1991.
Wow.
When you think about that. So hopefully we'll have it. Tell me the AJ answer. I'm interested.
It was Houston, and I could not believe it. I forgot that he was Deshaun Watson's backup. So, yeah. Zubin, we really appreciate your time this morning. Obviously, with leading up to the college football playoff and the coverage you'll be doing alongside Trevor Manage, I know you're really busy, but we appreciate you making some time for us here on the Morning Rush.
Happy early New Year. Thanks, Zubin.
Absolutely. So good stuff from Zubin Mahinty. You can always hear from him, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Will, from 5 to 6 here on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Crowds it to they just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Brett told me that Philly fans threw eggs at the Green Bay Packers bus during their Super Bowl year, which really is not surprising at all. And then you and I both got the text that said what, Tommy?
My buddy Chris up in Harrison said he's not rooting for the Eagles necessarily to win. He's just really hoping that Washington loses. That's how he's looking at
it. That's a good way to put it.
Spoken like a real Cowboys fan.
Kyle from the Hog Talk podcast, our friends over there, which you can listen, hitthatline.com, and wherever you listen to podcasts, he sent me the exact same text. So yeah. I think a lot of Cowboys fans have that exact same feeling this morning.
Hey, you used to talk about New Year's Eve and what to do now that the football game is off. And I don't know what we're going to do because it's not like we can now watch the other football game. That was the only football game on. So, you know, so we're all looking and searching for things to do. One thing you could do is go to 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. They're going to be open. Now, you know, state mandates require all establishments like 906 to close at 11 o'clock. So they're going to be doing that and following those guidelines. They follow all the other guidelines as well. No reservations, no cover charge. So get there early. The doors are going to open at 4 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And you can join them at 906 for a special New Year's Eve toast. They're going to ring in the new year at 9:06 p.m. So raise your glass and toast the new year just after 9 o'clock at 9:06 at 9:06 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Tabitha Graves is going to be there with some great music. Also, have some music from Rick Endell. So they'll be performing starting at 7:30 till 10:30. So a great New Year's Eve planned at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Again, doors open at 4. No cover charge. No reservations. Get there early. And a special toast to ring in the new year at 9:06 p.m. It's all at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Tomorrow night, be down there on the Avenue at 906 Garrison Avenue, downtown Fort Smith.
So you're going to be in Branson for New Year's, and yeah. You will be, me and Clay will be doing the show tomorrow along with Jenkins. What what are you and Mrs. Lord doing?
Well,
and the kiddos.
We've been putting off. I've had tickets with the kids, and COVID and work and everything else has put off Sight and Sound Theater to see Noah. And it's tomorrow or we're not going. And we're losing the money. So guess what we're doing?
I want
to
see it.
We're going to take the kids to the very last showing. And because tomorrow's it and they're not, I mean, that show's over. So we're taking the kids to see Sight and Sound Theater's showing of Noah. And I don't know if you've ever been to, have you ever been to a site to Sight and Sound Theater there in Branson?
Probably when I was a kid.
Biblically based. I mean, Broadway level production. I mean, they do an awesome job.
It's incredible.
It's incredible the level of production value, theatrical performance, however you want to state it.
It's almost live. I mean, life size.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know why we're giving them a free commercial, but that's what we're doing here tomorrow night.
It's pretty cool.
It's great to take kids to, and so that's what we're doing at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon.
There you go.
I saw Noah's Ark. Every, I think it was right when it opened.
Yeah, they're bringing this one back. We've seen Moses, we've seen Jonah, so you know we got to do it all. So big, wild, and crazy times. That's what we're doing. Hope we don't get arrested.
What are you doing this New Year's with no Texas Bowl? 877-377-6963. The Arkansas women's basketball team actually plays tomorrow night. So who, Jenkins, who are they playing? You remember
Kentucky? I believe.
So that's a with Mike Nabor's team.
Top 10 in the country. Didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize.
No, you're good, buddy.
Yeah, top 10 in the country. For all the
dynamite drop in by you there, Monty.
For everything, for all the talent that the Razorback men's team have, the women's team is just equally, if not even more talented with shooters everywhere else.
If we haven't learned anything in the last 2 years or so with basketball, we've learned coaching matters, right? In both the men's and women's program.
Correct.
I mean, if nothing else, who you hire to be your head coach in both of those programs, and that's not a shot at Mike Anderson. He took it to another level and improved it, and Musselman's just taking it to another. But the job Mike Nabor's has done, that program was stuck, and he has shown you that when you have the right guy, you can get back in a league that's more competitive in women's basketball. It's better in women's basketball than it probably is in many other sports, maybe even including football on a national level as far as depth, quality depth in the league in women's basketball. A lot of great teams there. And, you know, it's amazing the turnaround he has created within that program.
Craig is going to watch the 78 Orange Bowl tomorrow night. Now, my brother, who I'm going to see.
Where would you do that? YouTube, I guess?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah. So my brother, his kind of calling card, Tommy, is watching Darren McFadden highlights late at night. So I wouldn't be surprised if those got popped on this New Year's as I'm going down to visit him. Derek from Fayetteville texted in. He says, I'm going to sit on Dixon and drink my night away since the Hogs are playing. Listen, this is the bummer about this.
You'll do that till 11, and then what are you going to do at 11:01? You know,
probably go home and drink more. This is the bummer about all of this. You were going to be able to drink happy on Thursday night because the Hogs were going to beat TCU. Yeah. You're going to head into here. 2020 sucked, but the Hogs won. They're heading in the right direction. And then just one last middle finger from 2020, the Hogs Texas Bowl gets canceled. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Welcome in one of our buddies, Kagan, who's out in Piggott. Kagan, what are you doing this New Year's tomorrow night, man?
How y'all doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm about sick over this bowl game. That's one thing that I really look forward to. I mean, you know how long it's been. It's been a few years since we had even played in a bowl game, but well, I was really looking forward to seeing Felipe give one last effort, all he's got, to do everything he can to win a ball game.
Yeah.
And I believe them players would have showed up everybody was healthy and there wouldn't have been no playing around. They would have probably stuck it right to TCU, come out throwing punches. But, man, that just makes me sick. I don't know about y'all, but that's one thing I really wanted to watch.
That's my beef today is one last chance to see him, because I credit him more than any other player with getting the program pointed in the right direction. You know,
you're
Sam
right.
Pittman
you're
and
exactly
Felipe
right.
Franks, because I'm of the belief that you're probably a one-win team without him. And maybe it's two. Maybe K.J. Jefferson, with all the attention from the coaching staff and all the practice reps, all the game reps, maybe that's different. But you gotta remember, those wins came early. And maybe he wouldn't have been ready, or I don't know. But I think Felipe's been worth two wins to you this year, in my opinion.
You know, I think having Felipe and our young guys like KJ and Malik and them, being able to just learn from him and his experience and watch him and watch how he plays and how he's a leader, I really think that's going to help us next year. And I don't think we're going to have any problem with our quarterback for the whole time Sam Pittman really is in place. I mean, KJ, look, you've seen him throw the ball. I mean, he's still not perfect, but, man, he's improved a bunch.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.